Welcome to the show, Mr. President.
Thank you, Dave.
My name's Regis.
Okay.
Now, Mr. President, you're here to raise money for Alzheimer's awareness. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
I'm here to raise money to help find a cure for Alzheimer's because I have what's called a vested interest, Dave.
Regis.
Okay.
All right then, Mr. President, let's play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Question one for $100, usually an easy one, don't worry. The USA is an acronym of the following phrase: the United States of A, Israel, B, Armenia, C, Iran, D, America.
Ooh, tough one. Looks like I'm gonna have to phone a friend.
Good one, Mr. President.
Yeah, no, seriously though, I'm gonna need some help here.
Okay. Who would you like to call?
Let's try Mitch McConnell.
And where is Mitch calling from, Mr. President?
He's calling from right here in the United States of America.
The United States of America?
Yeah.
Well, before we start the clock, would you care to explain how Mitch McConnell, a Republican, is on your list as a phone-a-friend?
Well, you see, Sam.
Regis,
it's true that Mitch and I are both in different political parties, but it's important for us all to remember that although he may be a Republican and I may be a Democrat, at the end of the day, we're both members of the Uniparty.
We have Mitch on the line now, Mr. President, and your time starts now.
Mitch, the U.S. acting in the following states: A, Irania, B, Armani, 4, Iraq, 7, and Iraq.
Sorry, Joe, I didn't quite catch that. Can you repeat it?
The USA, Iraq, is the final phase. The United States, Israel, 2, A, Armenia, C, Irash, if the foot has the Himalayas.
Joe, I have no idea what you're saying.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Mitch is asking you what the A in USA stands for.
Oh, that's easy. It's...
Mitch, are you there? His connection must have froze or something.
Give me the 50-50.
Mr. President.
Say, give me the 50-50, damn it.
All right, computer, take away two wrong answers and leave Joe with the correct answer and one remaining wrong answer.
Well, okay, I was leaning towards Armenia, so now I really don't know what to think.
I mean, you could always ask the audience.
And let a public vote make an important decision? I don't think so, pal.
Well, you know, most people find it a pretty useful lifeline, so...
Just shut up and let me think for a second. Think, Joe, think. The United States, the U.S. That's the United States, the U.S., USA. That's it. The answer is A. A, final answer.
Joe? You had $0, and I'm afraid you still have $0. It's the wrong answer. It is, of course, the United States of America, not the United States of Israel.
You sure about that?
And now, from Times Square,
it's that Kevin Show.
Somewhere in the bowels of the city that never sleeps.
Kevin McCullough, radio host with Salem Media.
Is a man also not sleeping.
Syndicated radio talk show host Kevin McCullough.
And that guy would like a word with you.
Many of you know him from as Nostradamus.
Of course that Kevin show is going to be great.
The only thing that could be greater, of course, would be that Donald show.
But we don't have that, so we have that Kevin show.
Featuring the music of Dick Tunney and the Dream in Color Orchestra. Tonight, she ranks higher than most admirals and generals. K.T. McFarland. He's a tax-collecting good guy. Harris Patel. Sketch comedy from Penn Holderness. Biden and Trump play millionaire. And in the spotlight, it's the sweet sounds of Lainey Wilson. And now, from Times Square, where the Staten Island Ferry Hawks sport a starting first baseman with more World Series rings than the Yanks and Mets first baseman combined, here's the
Do you have the That Kevin Show mug? It is what I drink my coffee and adult beverages in. I'm not going to tell you which is which tonight. But do you have a chance to win one of those? Send your email, thatkevinshow@gmail.com. We will be naming the winner of a new That Kevin Show mug tonight. Yes, that you got something right, David.
It's a miracle.
I know. Don't be shocked. You did it. You did it well.
I'm shocked.
I just found out that what David said there in the open is true. The Staten Island Fairy Hawks, which is an independent, it's not even part of the Major League AAA, AA farm system. It's an independent minor league team that happens to play its home games on Staten Island, which, you know, for all the Colin Jost and other people that come from there, it's remarkably normal place. Love the people of Staten Island. But the Fairy Hawks have just landed Pablo Sandoval, who just came from the San Francisco. He just got cut by the Giants, but he's a three-time World Series champion and a former World Series MVP. And I thought, I wonder. So I looked at the Mets and the Yankees starting first baseman, and they have, between the two of them, they have one World Series ring. Staten Island Fairy Hawks first baseman, three World Series rings. So it's kind of a cool little, if you go out to Staten Island, enjoy the Fairy Hawks and get some World Series style baseball, at least from the first baseman. All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Now, the cold open there, Forgetful Joe, he really is. That's not, I wish that I could say that's entirely just a parody. That obviously is. That was very well done by Dr. Fozadik. But the humor in that is that it is linked to an actual man who acts that way in real life. And we got no better example of that this week than finally his reaction to what Iran did last weekend. You know, they fire 500 missiles, close to 500 missiles, them and the Yemenis and the Lebanese and the agents of Iran in these countries firing all of these missiles. Every one of them just about gets shut down. A lot of countries came to the aid. The U.S., the U.K., France, Jordan, Saudi Arabia. These were not countries that had ever stood with Israel before, but they did this time. And by the way, kudos to President Trump and the Abraham Accords for making this, you know, spirit of cooperation even possible. That's incredible. But you have good old Joe in the moment last weekend. Go to Bibi Netanyahu and go, oh, okay. Let's just call it a win and go home. To which Bibi Netanyahu's going,
get this guy out of here.
So all week long, everybody's wondering, is Joe Biden going to respond? Is there going to be something that he's going to do? Because the U.S. was pulled into this. We had some level of response that we could take on ourselves. And Israel is kind of our most important ally. Well, lo and behold, the Israelis, and I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. They did one little response. They went in and they dropped some very precise missiles right on the nuke research place that Iran has deep inside of Iranian territory. Not like those missiles that were coming out of Iran to Israel going, I don't know where I'm going, but I got shot down. Now, Israel, dead of night, with no other countries evidently knowing about it, got missiles and payloads into research facilities and military targets. I hope it's just the beginning. I think that there should still be a very large response from Israel on all of this. I'll ask KT McFarland about this when she's with us in just a bit. But that was after Joe Biden has been, hey, take the win. You know, you got to take the win. So what was Dementia Joe going to do when he had a chance to respond? Well, we saw it on Friday. In response to the unprecedented drone and missile attacks, Joe Biden announced new sanctions on the Iranian regime. New sanctions. New sanctions are going to be really, really tough. You know why? They're actually not going to do anything. They don't target any of the industries of Iran, and they don't target any of their energy sector. And Joe Biden has personally made Iran a $100 billion beneficiary of commerce and things over the last 3 years. These sanctions are a joke. But then again, so is most of the mental capacity of the president. So that's what we're stuck with tonight. Dementia Joe and his sanctions. Gavin McCullough, coming right back.
I knew it.
Come on, Kev. What's a few classified documents between friends?
I told you all the time. I knew it. I knew he had some, too.
Here he is. That Kevin. Kevin McCullough.
Very glad to have you back with us live from Times Square. It's Kevin McCullough and That Kevin Show. And I'm always pleased to have my next guest because she's just one of the smartest people on the planet. That's why so many people want to know what she thinks when major issues go down in the foreign policy and national security arenas. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome once again, KT McFarland. Hello, lady.
That's great to be with you. Thanks, Ben.
Last weekend, you know, I, like everybody else, got sucked into a news headline about, 4:30 in the afternoon and ended up being kind of glued to ongoing coverage through the evening. First, it was 100 missiles or maybe drones. And then, you know, they were going to be able to fight it off with David Sling and the Iron Dome. And next thing I know, it's the next morning and it was hundreds upon hundreds. They came from Iran and Yemen. Other proxies were involved. But we also had a pretty good coalition that came to Israel's aid. And the next morning, KT, I wake up and read that my president has strong-armed Benjamin Netanyahu and said, oh, good job there. You fought him off. Now don't do it again. Now don't respond because we don't want to escalate this. KT, I don't think that the Iranians or really any of the Islamic enemies of Israel really respect anything except strength. So how does Bibi Netanyahu keep the USA happy and send a message of strength to those people that oppose him?
Well, that's the conundrum. You know, Netanyahu and the coalition, which I was surprised, frankly, I was surprised that Joe Biden had the United States enter that coalition. United States, Britain, Saudi Arabia, amazingly, France, Jordan.
The Princess of Jordan shooting down 5 missiles all on her own.
It's incredible that they were able to do it and they were willing to do it. But here's the problem. Netanyahu, yes, Israel has to respond for a whole lot of reasons, militarily, as well as sending the message, as well as destroying deterrence. But Joe Biden said, don't you dare. You know, if you respond, you're going to do it alone. America's not going to be with you next time. So it puts Netanyahu and all of Israel in a terrible position because on one hand, they need to do it for their own, you know, survival. And on the other hand, if they do it and Joe Biden walks away and leaves Israel alone and stranded, then Israel has a really hard, if not impossible, time because Israel needs American intelligence. It needs American weapons to resupply the ones Israel's using. And Iran may have had this barrage, but guess what? And maybe 99% of them were shot down. Iran probably has 3-5 times that many that it can launch again. So Iran says, Israel, don't you dare. We're really coming back after you. And Joe Biden says, Israel, don't you dare. You're going to do it alone. You're going to defend yourself alone. I think Netanyahu is just in this horrible position. And what I worry about is that Iran, knowing that they can push Joe Biden around, knowing that Biden is going to do anything to get those Muslim American, anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, pro-Iran voters in Michigan to vote for him, that they'll have some. They'll have a crisis. They'll probably have it in the middle or right before the Democratic Convention in July. And then Israel's in a conundrum because does America help them? Does Israel go it alone? I mean, I just think that what they need to do, Israel needs to do something. They have every plan on the shelf ready to go at a moment's notice. Do something that maybe doesn't involve any potential loss of life, cyber attack, for example. understand that if you do go back into Rafah and the West Bank, or the West Bank or Gaza, Joe Biden is probably going to abandon you. And then just stay alive long enough to have a different president who will come in and have Israel's back. Because if Joe Biden is faced with, let's say, massive demonstrations in Chicago during the Democratic convention, you know, that pro-Palestinian, pro-Iran demonstrators come and lock up the airport, lock up the streets, lock up the hotels, just like the Democrats, anti-war demonstrators did in 1968. You know, Joe Biden could have a real problem on his hands, because all he cares about is winning re-election. All those guys, this is Obama's guys. This is Obama's third term. All they want to do is win, and they'll do anything to win. They'll subvert the Constitution. They'll just do anything to win. And so would they abandon Israel in Israel's most critical moment of need? I don't know the answer to that. They might. And is that a risk Israel can take? I mean, I just say, Israel, do what you got to do now, but understand that the cavalry will be coming with a new president, and just stay alive until then, and don't risk having Joe Biden. Don't give Joe Biden an excuse to dump you.
Well, there's been a lot of conflicted thoughts that I've been kind of mulling through this week. And let's start with the top of the list. Joe Biden paid for the attack on Israel in the pallets of cash that he's released. The Obama administration was sending pallets of cash. As soon as Joe Biden got into office, he thought it was appropriate to begin that process all over again. And I don't think there's any argument that can be made, KT, that if he had not been sending Iran that money, that October 7th wouldn't have happened, and that this last week wouldn't have happened. Am I wrong?
No, you're completely right. But when the pallets of cash, that's chump change compared to what Biden...
Well, and opening the oil markets and everything else. But this is what I'm getting at.
It's also the sanctions. Now, remember,
Joe Biden is funding the Iranian efforts, and now he's telling Israel that they're not allowed to respond. Like, why aren't our lawmakers calling out the administration on their distinctively pro-Iranian viewpoint in this conflict?
Well, I'm not going to speak for the moral courage of the people in Washington, D.C., of either party. But one thing that I think is going to get worse, Kevin, because, so for example, the Biden administration is considering what kind of sanctions. Do they do any sanctions against Iran? They're more concerned with getting China mad at them because Iran sells its oil to China. And so it's not just the pallets of cash. It's not just the high price of oil, which the Biden administration has arranged. But it's the ability of Iran to continue the cash flow. They're continuing to sell oil to particularly to China. And as long as Iran continues to do that, they've got the money coming in the door, and they've got the ability to pay for a really expensive war. You know, the estimates are it's $100 billion Iran has gotten enriched thanks to Joe Biden and his policies. $100 billion. They're making $60 billion a year selling oil to China and other countries in evasion of any kind of sanctions that Joe Biden has refused to enforce. So they can keep fighting for a really long time. Well, and you got to have the cavalry has to come in at some point, or really the future of the state of Israel, I think, is very much in doubt.
Well, and to think that when you and everybody else in the 45 administration left office, that country was broke. That they were at a very different posture at the negotiating table when it came to their nuclear program. I mean, I kept thinking on Saturday, KT, what if those drones had small nuclear payloads on them, which I think that they would be capable of carrying if you had the technology in its miniature form, finely tuned and well enough developed. The idea that, you know... I was seeing pictures of basically Star Wars happening above the area of Jerusalem. And when you looked at the screen, that didn't bring any comfort to me that we were knocking them all down, because I had never seen that kind of attack be launched against the city of Jerusalem or the city of Tel Aviv like that. And yeah, thank God we got almost all of them. But I don't think the Iranians are going to be satisfied with this attack. We're coming right back with KT McFarland for just a few more minutes.
Stick around for more of That Kevin. Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough. McCullough.
With this, I am so honored to call my guest, Keith McFarland, a friend, but I am so honored that she gives her time to help us understand these things even in greater finite detail. KT, on, I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday morning of this last week, I was listening to some local talk radio in the New York area, and I heard something I had not heard before, and that was that Ryan Zinke, a congressman from Montana, was on a show speaking about the cooperation of Russia, China, and Iran in the fact that they have now exchanged technologies, that they have now visited and exchanged and kind of collaborated on a series of tactics, and that they have even entered into training exercises together as three nations that are kind of equally bent on bringing down the West. I don't know if anybody else in the country heard that interview, but that was new information to me on the level that it was being said. And that sounds an awful lot like an axis of evil from the World War II era. Where are we at with the global divide? And you see a lot of stuff written on social media about Joe Biden dragging us closer and closer to World War III. But when I hear Iran, China, and Russia doing joint military exercises, it starts to kind of sink into me.
Oh, it should. You know, I mean, the difference is that in the Cold War, the United States had the dominant economy, so we were able to bankrupt the Soviet Union with our technology and with our financial clout. In World War II, you may have had the United States fighting and the Allies fighting an axis of evil of Italy, Germany, and Japan, but you didn't have Japan sharing training exercises with these guys. It's just, we've really fought two front wars, not three bad guys arrayed against us. And so the new axis of evil is very real, and it has every intention of destroying the West, the Western democracy, the world order. They want to be in charge. They're thugs. They're bullies. They're Hitler all over again. But how do you defeat them? In a lot of ways, it's right within our grasp. That's what's so frustrating, is we could do it. And I believe sincerely that the energy weapon that we hold and the technology weapon that we hold, you know, we have enough energy, oil and natural gas, to power the world, especially with natural gas, cleanly, safely, securely, and cheaply for hundreds of years, but President Biden won't let us use it. If we were to do that, if we were to implore, if we were even just take the handcuffs off the American energy industry, what do? They produce more than enough for us to be energy independent, and they produce enough to be energy dominant. So the United States, think about it, we become the new Middle East. We become the new energy source of the world. What does that manage to do to that axis of evil, the axis of evil? It bankrupts Russia because they need high oil prices and oil exports to fund all of their nefarious activities, including the war in Ukraine. It bankrupts Iran, which needs the oil revenues to pay for its wars in the Middle East and terrorism. And it puts China in a very different position. China is one of the most energy needy countries in the world. They have to import energy. They're importing it now from Iran, other places. But what happens if the United States is the world dominant energy supplier? That gives the United States enormous political and economic and every other kind of leverage on China. So the way you deal with the new axis of evil, which is intent on our destruction, is you beat them at the economic and technology game.
Well, I only hope that that's possible, KT. I mean, we've talked about a lot about this window of time that we're in. If these guys decide to take action before November, before January, before Trump can even get back to office, what do we do?
Well, let's just pray to God that doesn't happen. But I do believe that this is we're entering a window of opportunity for the bad guys. And they know that it's a narrowing window. And if they look at Donald Trump, who they've had to deal with him before, they know he's one mean, tough guy. And they know that what he's going to do is use the energy weapon, as I've described. They also know they've dealt with Joe Biden, and they pushed him around for 3 years, and they want to continue to push him around. So they're going to look at this narrowing window of opportunity, and maybe they decide, oh, now better now than never. Maybe we won't have a chance. Maybe they don't. It doesn't matter, because we have to behave the same way. Whether they decide to go or not, we've got the president we've got, and we're going to have him until he's replaced by a new and much better and much stronger and more America first president. And so I think the United States just does what we do best, which is to try to work, have a democracy that's a thriving, functioning democracy. That's why what you're doing, Kevin, I mean, you're on the front lines. You and every other person who's got the courage to step up in the national public debate and give the truth. Because, you know, mainstream media isn't doing that. The Democrat Party isn't doing that. A lot of the leaders of the Democrats, they're not doing it. Joe Biden certainly isn't doing that. And so it's incumbent upon you, as you and people like you, to have the courage to stand up.
KT McFarland, as always, thank you for your insights.
Stick around for more of That Kevin. Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough.
Hi there. Welcome back. Programming note. Big show still straight ahead. Next hour, Paras Patel, who plays the character Matthew in The Chosen. He's the very first character that's introduced in The Chosen series. He is going to be with us. We've got an exclusive sit down. Very, very just blown away to get Paras on the show. He's been the one guy that's been on the Chosen show that we haven't had a chance to talk to that I've really wanted to. And so just excited to have him on. And then we've also got some great sketch comedy coming at the top of the hour. Of course, Assignment Desk Weekend. We're going to break down all the headlines that we need to poke fun at. But, you know, you had Joe Biden, Dementia Joe, playing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, star of the show. Former President Trump takes his turn coming up after the top of the hour. So you don't want to miss that. I'm sure it's going to be totally fair, not rigged at all. We'll see. And Penn Holderness has some spoofing of some airlines tonight, all straight ahead. Now, we've been telling you for the last number of weeks that we are giving away one of these beautiful, beautiful coffee mugs every single weekend here at That Kevin Show. And tonight is no exception. Here's how you win this, by the way. You send us your email to thatkevinshow@gmail.com. And when you do, you're entered into the drawing to win one of these mugs. Now, if you register once, you're registered to try to win every week from now till the end of 2024, because we're giving one away every single week. So tonight's winner will just be one of several, but if you register now, you can still win. You still have like 38 chances to win, 39, 40 chances to win between now and the end of the year. So please send us the email, thatkevinshow@gmail.com, and get ready to claim your fancy mug. And we've got two different versions. We've got the black one like this, the beautiful glossy black with the white logo. And we've also got one that's white with a black handle, black inside, and the black logo on top. And you can take your pick of which one you would prefer when you register. It's just super easy to do. So just send us your email to thatkevinshow@gmail.com, thatkevinshow@gmail.com. By the way, if you want to get your own, we've got a whole a wonderful little online shop I'd love for you to visit called thatkevinstore.com, thatkevinstore.com. And if you go there, you will be able to see for yourself all the great things. We've got hooded sweatshirts. We just got everything possible. So just go check that out, thatkevinstore.com. Now, it's very important that you stick around, because in the next hour, we are going to fully explore the character of Matthew. And we've got Lainey Wilson, who's coming up in the spotlight in just a moment, and some more fun. Next week, I want to tell you about this. The combined talents of Rebecca St. James and the music group For King and Country, who have been in our new music spotlight every year for the last 3 years. They've made it four times, in fact, nominated for Song of the Week, four times for King and Country. Their family, the Smallbone family, that's the name of their family, came from Australia to America, but who knows the real story as to how it happened? That is the subject of the movie Unsung Hero. Unsung Hero, the new movie that's out from the Smallbones that is coming out in theaters very, very soon. I wanted you to have an opportunity to take a look at the trailer. Next week, we interview the mom, Helen Smallbone, what it was like to raise these music superstars in her home, and what was it like to be a, you know, two-continent family, go from Australia to America back to real stardom for the kids, because they've all just done really super well. Well, we're going to have an exclusive one-on-one with Helen Smallbone next week, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope you will be here for that as well. But I wanted you to see the trailer for the upcoming movie, Unsung Hero. Take a look at this. My place in this
world. Wind is moving, but I'm still still. On my last tour back home, I lost a lot of money. A life of pages,
waiting to be found. How can we say goodbye to everything that we know and love?
This is my last chance. I want to do something that matters.
However you guys feel about being here, we need to pray for everything that we need.
But look around you. Your family, your faith. That's what makes you rich in life.
Welcome to Nashville, y'all.
I don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. This is our exciting adventure. Together.
You have been given a beautiful voice.
She's the special one, David.
Trigger's getting other folks to see it.
Does anybody really care what a 16-year-old girl thinks about God?
I'm trying to protect her, and it will never be enough.
It's going to be dangerous and scary. It's going to be so hard that you want to go back. And giving in, it's not an option. We've got to fight our way forward.
Your family, they're not in the way. They are the way.
It takes a lot to live out your dream. Hard work and sacrifice. I train this to be like you. You're my hero, Mom.
Are y'all from England?
Australia.
Australia. I wish I had an accent.
Looks like it's going to be just a great film. April the 24th, it will be in theaters. And go see it, Unsung Hero. By the way, we forgot to mug our winner tonight. It is Paul Landelius from Cape Coral, Florida. Paul has written in and requested one of the mugs. And because he was drawn tonight, he will get to choose the mug of his choice, either the black one with the white logo or the white one with the black logo. And in whatever circumstance, he will get to enjoy it from that point forward. And if you have yet to be mugged yourself, you can send us your email to register. Just send us an email at thatkevinshow@gmail.com, thatkevinshow@gmail.com. Put mug in the subject line, and then let us know in the body of the email, do you want the white one with the black logo or the black one with the white logo? And then be listening each weekend for your chance to be named, to be drawn, to be a winner, be mugged, if you will, from That Kevin Show. Kevin McCullough coming right back with tonight's New Music Spotlight.
Stick around for more of That Kevin. Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough. Serving it up with a no-drink minimum. It's That Kevin Show.
When it comes to the current buzz on the country music charts right now over on Apple iTunes, this one has four songs in the top 20. Ladies and gentlemen, Lainey Wilson.
Face
Forces. Hey, get the soundtrack. Search hashtag New Music Spotlight on Spotify or Apple Music.